for I hold him to be unworthy of his place that does those things. Well, gods above all, and there be souls must be saved, and there be souls must not be saved.
It's true, good lieutenant.
For mine own part, no offense to the general, nor any man of quality, I hope to be saved.
And so do I too, lieutenant.
Aye, but by your leave, not before me. The lieutenant is to be saved before the ancient. Let's have no more of this. Let's to our affairs. God forgive us our sins. Gentlemen, let's look to our business. Do not think, gentlemen, I am drunk. This is my ancient. This is my right hand. And this is my left. I am not drunk now. I can stand well enough, and I speak well enough.
Excellent well.
Why, very well, then. You must not think, then, that I am drunk.
To the platform, masters. Come. Let's set the watch.
You see this fellow that has gone before? He's a soldier fit to stand by Caesar and give direction, and do but see his vice. 'Tis to his virtue a just equinox, the one as long as the other. 'Tis pity of him. I fear the trust Othello puts him in, on some odd time of his infirmity, will shake this island.
But is he often thus?
'Tis evermore the prologue to his sleep. He'll watch the horologue a double set, if drink rock not his cradle.
It were well the general were put in mind of it. Perhaps he sees it not, or his good nature prizes the virtue that appears in Cassio and looks not on his evils. Is not this true?
How now, Rodrigo? I pray you after the lieutenant? Go!
And 'tis great pity that the noble Moor should hazard such a place as his own second with one of an engraft infirmity. It were an honest action to say so to the Moor.
Not I. For this fair island, I do love Cassio well, and would do much to cure him of this evil.
Help! Help!
But hark, what noise?
Zounds, you rogue! You rascal!
What's the matter, lieutenant?
A knave teach me my duty? I'll beat the knave into a twig and bottle!
Beat me?
Dost thou prate, rogue?
Nay, good lieutenant, I pray you, sir, hold your hand!
Let me go, sir! I'll knock you over, mazzard!
Come, come, you're drunk!
Drunk!
Away, I say! Go out and cry a mutiny!
Nay, good lieutenant! God will, gentlemen! Help, ho!
Lieutenant!
Sir, Montano!
Sir!
Help!
Masters!
You're goodly watched indeed!
What rings the bell?
Hello! Hello!
The town will rise!
God's will, Lieutenant!
Hold!
You will be shamed forever!
What is the matter here?
Soons, I bleed still. I am hurt to the death.
He dies!
Hold for your lives!
Hold, hold, lieutenant! Sir! Montano! Gentlemen! Have you forgot our sense of place and duty? Hold! The general speaks to you! Hold for shame!
Hold now, hold! From whence ariseth this? How we turned Turks, and to ourselves do that which heaven hath forbid the Ottomites? For Christian shame, put by this barbarous brawl. He that stirs next to carve for his own rage holds his soul light. He dies upon his motion. Silence that dreadful bell! It frights the isle from her propriety. What is the matter, masters? Honest Iago that looks dead with grieving, speak, who began this? On thy love, I charge thee.
I do not know. Friends, all but now, even now, in quarter and in terms, like bride and groom, divesting them for bed, and then, but now, as if some planet had unwitted men, swords out, and tilting one at other's breast in opposition bloody. I cannot speak any beginning to this peevish odds. And would in action glorious I had lost those legs that brought me to a part of it.
How comes it, Michael, you are thus forgotten?
I pray you pardon me, I cannot speak.
Worthy Montano, you were wont to be civil. The gravity and stillness of your youth the world hath noted, and your name is great in mouths of wisest censure. What's the matter that you unlace your reputation thus, and spend your rich opinion for the name of a night brawler? Give me answer to it.
Worthy Othello, I am hurt to danger. Your officer Iago can inform you while I spare speech, which something now offends me of all that I do know. nor know I aught by me that said or done amiss this night, unless self-charity be sometimes a vice, and to defend ourselves it be a sin when violence assails us.
Now by heaven my blood begins my safer guides to rule, and passion, having my best judgment collied, assays to lead the way. Zounds, if I stir, or do but lift this arm, the best of you shall sink in my rebuke. Give me to know how this foul rout began, who set it on, and he that is approved in this offence, though he had twinned with me both at birth, shall lose me. What, in a town of war, yet wild, the people's hearts brimful of fear to manage private and domestic quarrel in night and on the court and guard of safety? 'Tis monstrous! Iago, who began't?
If partially affined or leagued in office, thou dost deliver more or less than truth. Thou art no soldier.
Touch me not so near. I had rather have this tongue cut from my mouth than it should do offense to Michael Cassio. Yet I persuade myself to speak the truth. Shall nothing wrong him? Thus it is, General. Montano and myself being in speech, there comes a fellow crying out for help, and Cassio following him with determined sword to execute upon him. So this gentleman steps into Cassio and entreats his pause. Myself the crying fellow did pursue, lest by his clamor, as it so fell out, the town might fall in fright. He, swift of foot, outran my purpose, and I returned the rather for that I heard the clink and fall of swords and Cassio high an oath, which till tonight I ne'er might say before. When I came back, for this was brief, I found them close together at blow and thrust, even as again they were when you yourself did part them. More of this matter cannot I report. But men are men. The best sometimes forget. Though Cassio did some little wrong to him, as men in rage strike those that wish them best, yet surely Cassio, I believe, received from him that fled some strange indignity which patience could not pass.
I know, Iago, thy honesty and love doth mince this matter, making it light to Cassio.
Cassio! I love thee. But nevermore be officer of mine. Look, if my gentle love be not raised up, I'll make thee an example.
What is the matter, dear?
All's well now, sweeting.
Come away to bed. Sir, for your hurts, myself will be your surgeon. Lead him off.
Iago, look with care about the town and silence those whom this vile brawl distracted. Come, Desdemona. 'Tis the soldier's life to have their balmy slumbers waked with strife.
What, are you hurt, Lieutenant?
Aye. Past all surgery.
Mary, God forbid.
Reputation. 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 Oh, I have lost my reputation. I have lost the immortal part of myself, and what remains is bestial. My reputation, Iago, my reputation.
As I am an honest man, I thought you had received some bodily wound. There is more sense in that than in reputation. Reputation is an idle and most false imposition, oft got without merit and lost without deserving. You have lost no reputation at all, unless you repute yourself such a loser. What? Man, there are ways to recover the general again. You are now but cast in his mood, a punishment more in policy than in malice, even so as one would beat his offenseless dog to affright an imperious lion. Sue to him again, and he's yours.
I will rather sue to be despised than to deceive so good a commander with so slight, so drunken, and so indiscreet an officer. Drunk and speak parrot. And squabble, swagger, swear, and discourse fustian with one's own shadow? Oh, thou invisible spirit of wine, if thou hast no name to be known by, let us call thee devil.
What was he that you followed with your sword? What had he done to you?
I know not.
Is it possible?
I remember a mass of things, but nothing distinctly. A quarrel, but nothing wherefore. Oh, God, that men should put an enemy in their mouths to steal away their brains, that we should with joy, pleasance, revel, and applause transform ourselves into beasts.
Why, but you are now well enough. How came you thus recovered?
It hath pleased the devil drunkenness to give place to the devil wrath. One unperfectness shows me another to make me frankly despise myself.
Come, you are too severe a moraler. As the time, the place, and the condition of this country stands, I could heartily wish this had not so befallen, but since it is as it is, mend it for your own good.
I will ask him for my place again. He shall tell me I am a drunkard. Had I as many mouths as Hydra, such an answer would stop them all. To be now a sensible man, by and by a fool, and presently a beast. Oh, strange! Every inordinate cup is unblessed, and the ingredients a devil.
Come. Come, good wine is a good familiar creature, if it be well used. Exclaim no more against it. And, good lieutenant, I think you think I love you?
I have well approved it, sir.
I, drunk. You or any man living may be drunk at a time, man. I'll tell you what you shall do. Our general's wife is now the general. Now, I may say so in this respect, for that he hath devoted and given up himself to the contemplation, mark, and denotement of her parts and graces. Confess yourself freely to her. Importune her help to put you in your place again. She is of so free, so kind, so apt, so blessed a disposition, she holds it a vice in her goodness not to do more than she is requested. This broken joint between you and her husband, entreat her to splinter. And my fortunes, against any lay worth naming, this crack of your love shall grow stronger than it was before.
You advise me well.
I protest in the sincerity of love and honest kindness.
I think it freely. And betimes in the morning I will beseech the virtuous Desdemona to undertake for me. I am desperate of my fortunes if they check me here.
You were in the right. Good night, Lieutenant. I must to the watch.
Good night, honest Iago.
And what's he, then, that says I play the villain? When this advice is free, I give, and honest, probal to thinking, and indeed the course to win the more again. For 'tis most easy the inclining Desdemona to subdue in any honest suit. She's framed as fruitful as the free elements. And then for her to win the more, were it to renounce his baptism, all seals and symbols of redeemed sin, his soul is so enfettered to her love that she may make, unmake, do what she list, even as her appetite shall play the god with his weak function. How am I, then, a villain to counsel Cassio to this parallel course directly to his good? Divinity of hell. When devils will the blackest sins put on, they do suggest at first with heavenly shows, as I do now. For whiles this honest fool plies Desdemona to repair his fortune, and she, for him, pleads strongly to the Moor, I'll pour this pestilence into his ear, that she repeals him for her body's lust. And by how much she strives to do him good, she shall undo her credit with the Moor. So will I turn her virtue into pitch, and out of her own goodness make the net that shall enmesh them all. How now, Rodrigo?
Oh, I do follow here in the chase. Not like a hound that hunts, but one that fills up the cry. My money is almost spent. I have been tonight exceedingly well cudgeled, and I think the issue will be I shall have so much experience for my pains, and so with no money at all, and little more wit, return again to Venice.
How poor are they that have not patience? What wound did ever heal but by degrees? Thou knowest we work by wit, and not by witchcraft, and wit depends on dilatory time. Does not go well. Cassio hath beaten thee. And thou, by that small hurt, hast cashiered Cassio. Though other things grow fair against the sun, yet fruits that blossom first will first be ripe. Content thyself a while. By the mass, 'tis morning. Pleasure and action make the hours seem short. Retire thee. Go where thou art billeted. Away, I say. Thou shalt no more hereafter. Nay, get thee gone. Two things are to be done. My wife must move for Cassio to her mistress. I'll set her on. Myself the while to draw the Moor apart and bring him jump when he may Cassio find, soliciting his wife. Aye, that's the way. Dull not device by coldness and delay.
Masters, play here. I will content your pains. Something that's brief and bid good morrow, general.
Why, masters, have your instruments been in Naples that they speak in the nose thus?
How, sir, how?
Are these, I pray you, wind instruments?
Aye, marry, are they, sir?
Whoa, thereby hangs a tale.
Whereby hangs a tale, sir?
Marry, sir, by many a wind instrument that I know. But, masters, here's money for you. And the general so likes your music that he desires you, for love's sake, to make no more noise with it.
Well, sir, we will not.
If you have any music that may not be heard, to it again. But, as they say, to hear music, the general does not greatly care.
We have none such, sir.
Then put up your pipes in your bag, for all away. Go, vanish into air. Away!
Dost thou hear, mine honest friend?
No, I hear not, your honest friend. I hear you.
Prithee, keep up thy quillets. There's a poor piece of gold for thee. If the gentlewoman that attends the general's wife be stirring, tell her there's one Cassio entreats her a little favor of speech. Wilt thou do this?
She is stirring, sir. If she will stir hither, I shall seem to notify unto her.
Do, good my friend. In happy time, Iago.
You have not been abed, then?
Why, no. The day had broke before we parted. I have made bold, Iago, to send in to your wife. My suit to her is that she will to virtuous Desdemona procure me some excess.
I'll send her to you presently, and I'll devise a mean to draw the Moor out of the way that your converse and business may be more free.
I humbly thank you for it. I never knew a Florentine more kind and honest.
Good morrow, good lieutenant. I am sorry for your displeasure, but all will sure be well. The general and his wife are talking of it, and she speaks for you stoutly. The Moor replies that he you heard is of great fame in Cyprus and great affinity, and that in wholesome wisdom he might not but refuse you, but he protests he loves you, and needs no other suitor but his likings to take the safest occasion by the front to bring you in again.
Yet I beseech you, if you think fit, or that it may be done, give me advantage of some brief discourse with Desdemona alone.
Pray you come in. I will bestow you where you shall have time to speak your bosom freely.
I am much bound to you.
These letters give, Iago, to the pilot, and by him do my duties to the Senate. That done, I will be walking on the works. Repair there to me.
Well, my good lord, I'll do it.
This fortification, gentlemen, shall we see it?
We wait upon your lordship.
Be thou assured, good Cassio, I will do all my abilities in thy behalf.
Good madam, do. I warrant it grieves my husband as if the cause were his.
Oh, that's an honest fellow. Do not doubt, Cassio, but I will have my lord and you again as friendly as you were.
Bounteous madam, whatever shall become of Michael Cassio, he's never anything but your true servant.
I know it. I thank you. You do love my lord. You have known him long, and be you well assured he shall in strangeness stand no farther off than in a politic distance.
Aye, but lady, that policy may either last so long, or feed upon such nice and waterish diet, or breed itself so out of circumstance, that I being absent and my place supplied, my general will forget my love and service.
Do not doubt that. Before Amelia here, I give thee warrant of thy place.
assure thee, if I do vow a friendship, I'll perform it to the last article. My lord shall never rest. I'll watch him tame and talk him out of patience. His bed shall seem a school, his board a shrift. I'll intermingle everything he does with Cassio's suit. Therefore be merry, Cassio, for thy solicitor shall rather die than give thy cause away.
Madam, here comes my lord.
Madam, I'll take my leave.
Why, stay and hear me speak.
Madam, not now. I am very ill at ease, unfit for mine own purposes.
Well, do your discretion.
Ha. Huh. I like not that.
What dost thou say?
Nothing, my lord, or if I know not what.
Was not that Cassio parted from my wife?
Cassio, my lord? No. Sure, I cannot think it that he would steal away so guilty-like, seeing your coming.
I do believe 'twas he.
How now, my lord? I have been talking with a suitor here, a man that languishes in your displeasure.
Who is't you mean?
Why, your lieutenant, Cassio. Good, my lord. If I have any grace or power to move you, his present reconciliation take. For if he be not one that truly loves you, that errs in ignorance and not in cunning, I have no judgment in an honest face. I prithee call him back.
Went he hence now?
Yes, faith. So humbled that he hath left part of his grief with me to suffer with him. Good love, call him back.
Not now, sweet Desdemone. Some other time.
Shall't be shortly.
The sooner, sweet, for you.
Shall't be tonight at supper?
No, not tonight.
Tomorrow dinner, then?
I shall not dine at home. I meet the captains at the citadel.
Why, then, tomorrow night, or Tuesday morn. On Tuesday noon or night, on Wednesday morn. I prithee name the time. But let it not exceed 3 days. In faith, he's penitent. And yet his trespass, in our common reason, save that, they say, the wars must make example out of her best, is not almost a fault to incur a private check. When shall he come? Tell me, Othello. I wonder in my soul what you would ask me that I should deny or stand so mammering on. What, Michael Cassio, that came a-wooing with you? And so many a time, when I have spoke of you dispraisingly, hath ta'en your part. To have so much to do to bring him in? By your lady, I could do much.
Prithee, no more. Let him come when he will. I will deny thee nothing.
Why, this is not a boon. 'Tis as I should entreat you, wear your gloves, or feed on nourishing dishes, or keep you warm, or suit you to do a peculiar profit to your own person. Nay, when I have a suit wherein I mean to touch your love indeed, it shall be full of poise, and difficult weight, and fearful to be granted.
I will deny thee nothing. Whereon I do beseech thee, grant me this, to leave me but a little to myself.
Shall I deny you? No. Farewell, my lord.
Farewell, my Desdemona. I'll come to thee straight.
Amelia, come. Be as your fancies teach you. Whate'er you be, I am obedient.
Excellent wretch! Perdition catch my soul, but I do love thee. And when I love thee not, chaos is come again.
My noble lord.
What dost thou say, Iago?
Did Michael Cassio, when you wooed my lady, know of your love?
He did, from first to last. Why dost thou ask?
But for a satisfaction of my thought, no further harm.
Why of thy thought, Iago?
I did not think he had been acquainted with her.
Oh, yes, and went between us very oft.
Indeed.
Indeed. Aye, indeed. Discernst thou aught in that? Is he not honest?
Honest, my lord.
Honest, aye, honest.
My lord, for aught I know.
What dost thou think?
Think, my lord.
Think, my lord. By heaven, thou echoest me as if there were some monster in thy thought too hideous to be shown. Thou dost mean something. I heard thee say even now thou likes not that when Cassio left my wife. What didst not like? And when I told thee he was of my counsel in my whole course of wooing, thou criedst, indeed, and didst contract and purse thy brow together as if thou then hadst shut up in thy brain some horrible conceit. If thou dost love me, show me thy thought.
My lord, you know I love you.
I think thou dost. And for I know thou'rt full of love and honesty, and weighest thy words before thou giv'st them breath, therefore these stops of thine fright me the more. For such things in a false, disloyal knave are tricks of custom. But in a man that's just, they're close dilations working from the heart that passion cannot rule.
For Michael Cassio, I dare be sworn, I think that he is honest.
I think so too.
Men should be what they seem. Or those that be not, what they might seem none.
Certain. Men should be what they seem.
Why then, I think Cassio's an honest man.
Nay, yet there's more in this. I prithee, speak to me as to thy thinkings, as thou dost ruminate, and give thy worst of thoughts the worst of words.
Good, my lord, pardon me. Though I am bound to every act of duty, I am not bound to that all slaves are free to. Utter my thoughts? Why, say they are vile and false, as where's that palace whereinto foul things sometimes intrude not? Who has that breast so pure, but some uncleanly apprehensions keep leets and law days and in session sit with meditations lawful?
Thou dost conspire against thy friend, Iago, if thou but think'st him wronged and mak'st his ear a stranger to thy thoughts.
As you beseech you, though I perchance am vicious in my guess, as I confess it is my nature's plague to spy into abuses, and oft my jealousy shapes faults that are not, that your wisdom, from one that so imperfectly conceits, would take no notice, nor build yourself a trouble out of his scattering and unsure observance. It were not for your quiet, nor your good, nor for my manhood, honesty, and wisdom to let you know my thoughts.
What dost thou mean?
Good name, in man and woman, dear my lord, is the immediate jewel of their souls. Who steals my purse, steals trash. 'Tis something, nothing. 'Twas mine, 'tis his, and has been slave to thousands. But he that filches from me my good name robs me of that which not enriches him and makes me poor indeed.
By heaven, I'll know thy thoughts.
You cannot, if my heart were in your hand, nor shall not, whilst 'tis in my custody. Oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth mock the meat it feeds on. That cuckold lives in bliss, who certain of his fate loves not his wronger. But oh, what damned minutes tells he o'er, who dotes, yet doubts, suspects, yet strongly loves.
Oh, misery!
Poor and content is rich, and rich enough. But riches fineless is as poor as winter to him that ever fears he shall be poor. Good God, the souls of all my tribe defend from jealousy.
Why? Why is this? Think'st thou I'd make a life of jealousy to follow still the changes of the moon with fresh suspicions? No, to be once in doubt is once to be resolved. Exchange me for a goat when I shall turn the business of my soul to such exsufflicate and blown surmises matching thy inference. 'Tis not to make me jealous to say my wife is fair, feeds well, loves company, is free of speech, sings, plays, and dances well. Where virtue is, these are more virtuous. Nor from mine own weak merits will I draw the smallest fear or doubt of her revolt, for she had eyes and chose me. No, Iago, I'll see before I doubt. When I doubt, prove, and on the proof there is no more but this. Away at once with love or jealousy.
Well, I am glad of this, for now I shall have reason to show the love and duty that I bear you with franker spirit. Therefore, as I am bound, receive it from me. I speak not yet of proof. Look to your wife. Observe her well with Cassio. Wear your eyes thus, not jealous, nor secure. I would not have your free and noble nature out of self-bounty be abused. Look to it. I know our country disposition well. In Venice they do let God see the pranks they dare not show their husbands. Their best conscience is not to leave it undone, but keep it unknown.
Dost thou say so?
She did deceive her father, marrying you. And when she seemed to shake and fear your look, she loved them most.
And so she did.
Why, go to, then. She that so young could give out such a seeming to seal her father's eyes up close as oak, he thought 'twas witchcraft. But I am much to blame. I humbly do beseech you of your pardon for too much loving you.
I am bound to thee forever.
I see this hath a little dashed your spirits.
Not a jot, not a jot.
In faith, I fear it has. I hope you will consider what is spoke comes from my love. But I do see you're moved. I am to pray you not to strain my speech to grosser issues, nor to larger reach than to suspicion.
I will not.
Should you do so, my lord, my speech should fall into such vile success as my thoughts aim not at. Cassio's my worthy friend. My lord, I see you're moved.
No, not much moved. I do not think but Desdemona's honest.
Long live she so. And long live you to think so.
And yet, how nature, erring from itself...
Aye, there's the point. As to be bold with you. Not to affect many proposed matches of her own clime, complexion, and degree, whereto we see in all things nature tends. For one may smell in such a will most rank, foul disproportion, thoughts unnatural. But pardon me, I do not in position distinctly speak of her, though I may fear her will, recoiling to her better judgment, may fall to match you with her country forms, and happily repent.
Farewell. Farewell! If more thou dost perceive, let me know more. Set on thy wife to observe. Leave me, Iago.
My lord, I take my leave.
Why did I marry? This honest creature doubtless sees and knows more, much more than he unfolds.
My lord, I would I might entreat your honor to scan this thing no farther. Leave it to time. Although 'tis fit that Cassio have his place, for sure he fills it up with great ability, yet if you please to hold him off a while, you shall by that perceive him and his means. Note if your lady strain his entertainment with any strong or vehement importunity. Much will be seen in that. In the meantime, let me be thought too busy in my fears, as worthy cause I have to fear I am, and hold her free. I do beseech your honor.
Fear not my government.
Ah, I once more take my leave.
This fellow's of exceeding honesty, and knows all qualities with a learned spirit of human dealings. If I do prove her haggard, though that her jesses were my dear heartstrings, I'd whistle her off and let her down the wind to pray at fortune. Happily, for I am black, and have not those soft parts of conversation that chamberers have, or for I am declined into the veil of years, yet that's not much. She's gone. I am abused, and my relief must be to loathe her. Ah! Curse of marriage! That we can call these delicate creatures ours, and not their appetites? I had rather be a toad, and live upon the vapor of a dungeon, than keep a corner in the thing I love for others' uses. Yet 'tis the plague of great ones. Prerogatived are they less than the base. 'Tis destiny unshunnable, like death. Even then this forked plague is fated to us when we do quicken. Look where she comes. If she be false, ah, oh, then heaven mocks itself. I'll not believe it.
How now, my dear Othello? Your dinner and the generous islanders by you invited do attend your presence.
I am to blame.
Why do you speak so faintly? Are you not well?
I have a pain upon my forehead here.
Faith, that's with watching. 'Twill away again. Let me but bind it hard. Within this hour it will be well.
Your napkin is too little. Let it alone. Come. I'll go in with you.
I am very sorry that you are not well.
I am glad I have found this napkin. This was her first remembrance from the moor. My wayward husband hath 100 times wooed me to steal it. But she so loves the token, for he conjured her she should ever keep it, that she reserves it evermore about her to kiss and talk to. I'll have the work ta'en out and give it Iago. What he will do with it, heaven knows, not I. I nothing but to please his fantasy.
How now? What do you here alone?
Do not you chide. I have a thing for you.
Well, you have a thing for me. It is a common thing
huh?
to have a foolish wife.
Oh, is that all?
What will you give me now for that same handkerchief?
What handkerchief?
What handkerchief? Why, that the Moor first gave to Desdemona. That which so often you did bid me steal.
Has stolen it from her?
No. Faith. She let it drop by negligence. And to the advantage, I, being here, took it up. Look. Here it is.
Ah, good wench. Give it me.
What will you do with it that you've been so earnest to have me filch it?
Why? What's that to you?
If it be not for some purpose of import, give it me again. Poor lady shall run mad when she shall lack it.
Be not unknown, aunt. I have use for it. Go. Leave me. I will, in Cassio's lodging, lose this napkin, and let him find it. Trifles light as air are, to the jealous, confirmation strong as proofs of holy writ. This may do something. The Moor already changes with my poison. Dangerous conceits are in their nature's poisons, which at the first are scarce found to distaste, but with a little act upon the blood, burn like the mines of sulphur. I did say so. Look where he comes. Not poppy, nor mandragora, nor all the drowsy syrups of the world shall ever medicine thee to that sweet sleep which thou owedst yesterday.
Ha! Ha! False to me!
Why, how now, General? No more of that.
Avaunt! Begone! Thou hast set me on the rack. I swear it is better to be much abused than but to know it a little.
How now, my lord?
What sense had I of her stolen hours of lust? I saw it not, thought it not, it harmed not me. I slept the next night well, fed well, was free and merry. I found not Cassio's kisses on her lips. He that is robbed, not wanting what is stolen, let him not know it, and he's not robbed at all.
I'm sorry to hear this.
I had been happy if the general camp, pioneers and all, had tasted her sweet body, so I had nothing known. Oh, now forever farewell the tranquil mind. Farewell content. Farewell the plumed troops and the big wars that makes ambition virtue. Oh, farewell. Farewell the neighing steed and the shrill trump, the spirit-stirring drum, the ear-piercing fife, the royal banner and all quality pride, pomp, and circumstance of glorious war. And oh, you mortal engines, whose rude throats the immortal Jove's dread clamors counterfeit, farewell! Othello's occupation's gone.
It's possible, my lord.
Villain! Be sure thou prove my love a whore. Be sure of it. Give me the ocular proof, or by the worth of mine eternal soul, thou hadst been better have been born a dog than answer my waked wrath.
It's come to this.
Make me to see it. Or at the least so prove it, that the probation bear no hinge, nor loop to hang a doubt on, or woe upon thy life.
My noble lord!
Thou dost slander her and torture me. Never pray more. Abandon all remorse. On horror's heads, horrors accumulate. Do deeds to make heaven weep, all earth amazed. For nothing canst thou to damnation add greater than that.
Oh, grace. Oh, heaven, forgive me. Are you a man? Have you a soul or sense? God be with you. Take mine office. Oh, wretched fool that lives to make thine honesty a vice. Oh, monstrous world, take note, O world, to be direct and honest is not safe. I thank you for this profit, and from hence I'll love no friend, since love breeds such offense.
Nay, stay, thou shouldst be honest.
I should be wise, for honesty's a fool and loses that it works for.
By the world, I think my wife be honest and think she is not. I think that thou art just and think thou art not. I'll have some proof. Her name, that was as fresh as Dian's visage, is now begrimed and black as mine own face. If there be cords or knives, poison of fire, suffocating streams, I'll not endure it. Would I was satisfied.
I see, sir, you are eaten up with passion. I do repent me that I put it to you. You would be satisfied.
Would, nay, and I will.
And may. But how? How satisfied, my lord, would you, the supervisor, grossly gape on, behold her top...
Death and damnation, oh!
It were a tedious difficulty, I think, to bring them to that prospect. Damn them, then, if ever mortal eyes do see them bolster more than their own. What then? How then? What shall I say? Where's satisfaction? It is impossible you should see this, were they as prime as goats, as hot as monkeys, as salt as wolves in pride, and fools as gross as ignorance made drunk.
Oh!
But yet I say, if imputation and strong circumstances which lead directly to the door of truth will give you satisfaction, you might have it.
Give me a living reason. She's disloyal.
I do not like the office. But sith I am entered in this cause so far, pricked to it by foolish honesty and love, I will go on. I lay with Cassio lately, and being troubled with a raging tooth, I could not sleep. There are a kind of men so loose of soul that in their sleeps will mutter their affairs. One of this kind is Cassio. In sleep, I heard him say, "Sweet Desdemona, let us be wary. Let us hide our loves." And then, sir, would he gripe and wring my hand, cry, "Oh, sweet creature," then kiss me hard, as if he plucked up kisses by the roots that grew upon my lips, then laid his leg o'er my thigh, and sighed and kissed, and then cried, "Cursed fate that gave thee to the moor!"
Oh, monstrous, monstrous!
Nay, this was but his dream.
But this denoted a foregone conclusion. 'Tis a shrewd doubt, though it be but a dream.
And this may help to thicken other proofs that do demonstrate thinly.
I'll tear her all to pieces.
Nay, but be wise. Yet we see nothing done. She may be honest yet. Tell me but this. Have you not sometimes seen a handkerchief spotted with strawberries in your wife's hand?
I gave her such a one. It was my first gift.
I know not that. But such a handkerchief, I'm sure it was your wife's. Did I today see Cassio wipe his beard with...
If it be that.
If it be that, or any that was hers, it speaks against her with the other proofs.
Oh, that the slave had 40,000 lives. One is too poor, too weak for my revenge. Now do I see 'tis true. Look here, Iago. All my fond love thus do I blow to heaven. 'Tis gone. Arise, black vengeance, from thy hollow hell. Yield up, O love, thy crown and hearted throne to tyrannous hate. Swell bosom with thy fraught, for 'tis of aspic's tongues.
Yet be content.
O blood, blood, blood.
Patience, I say, your mind perhaps may change.
Never, Iago, like to the Pontic sea, whose icy current and compulsive course ne'er feels retiring ebb, but keeps due on to the Propontic and the Hellespont. Even so, my bloody thoughts, with violent pace, shall ne'er look back, ne'er ebb to humble love till that a capable and wide revenge swallow them up. Now, by yon marble heaven, in the due reverence of a sacred vow, I here engage my words.
Do not rise yet. Witness, you ever-burning lights above, you elements that clip us round about, witness that here Iago doth give up the execution of his wit, hands, heart, to wronged Othello's service. Let him command, and to obey shall be in me remorse. What bloody business ever?
I greet thy love, not with vain thanks, but with acceptance bounteous, and will upon the instant put thee to it. Within these 3 days, let me hear thee say that Cassio's not alive.
My friend is dead. 'Tis done at your request. But let her live.
Damn her, lewd minx! Oh, damn her! Damn her! Come, go with me apart. I will withdraw to furnish me with some swift means of death for the fair devil. Now art thou my lieutenant.
I am your own. Forever.
lies?
I dare not say he lies anywhere.
Why, man?
He's a soldier. And for me to say a soldier lies is stabbing.
Go to. Where lodges he?
To tell you where he lodges is to tell you where I lie.
Can anything be made of this?
I know not where he lodges. And for me to devise a lodging and say he lies here or he lies there were to lie in mine own throat.
Can you inquire him out and be edified by report?
I will catechize the world for him. That is, make questions, and by them, answer.
Seek him. Bid him come hither. Tell him I have moved my lord on his behalf and hope all will be well.
To do this is within the compass of man's wit, and therefore I will attempt the doing it.
Where should I lose that handkerchief, Amelia?
I know not, madam.
Believe me, I had rather have lost my purse full of crusados. And but my noble Moor is true of mind, and made of no such baseness as jealous creatures are, it were enough to put him to ill thinking.
Is he not jealous?
Who, he? I think the sun where he was born drew all such humors from him.
Look where he comes.
I will not leave him now till Cassio be called to him. How is it with you, my lord?
Well, my good lady.
Oh, hardness to dissemble.
How do you, Desdemona?
Well, my good lord.
Give me your hand.
This hand is moist, my lady.
It yet has felt no age, nor known no sorrow.
This argues fruitfulness and liberal heart. Hot.
Hot and moist. This hand of yours requires a sequester from liberty, fasting and prayer, much castigation, exercise devout. For here's a young and sweating devil here that commonly rebels. 'Tis a good hand, a frank one.
You may indeed say so, for 'twas that hand that gave away my heart.
A liberal hand. The hearts of old gave hands, but our new heraldry is hands, not hearts.
I cannot speak of this. Come now, your promise.
What promise, Chuck?
I have sent to bid Cassio come speak with you.
I have a salt and sorry room offends me. Lend me thy handkerchief.
Here, my lord.
That which I gave you.
I have it not about me.
Not?
No, indeed, my lord.
That's a fault. That handkerchief did an Egyptian to my mother give. She was a charmer and could almost read the thoughts of people. She told her, while she kept it, 'twould make her amiable and subdue my father entirely to her love. But if she lost it, or made a gift of it, my father's eye should hold her loathed, and his spirits should hunt after new fancies. She, dying, gave it me, and bid me, when my fate would have me wived, to give it her. I did so, and take heed on't. Make it a darling like your precious eye. To loose or give it away was such perdition as nothing else could match.
Is it possible?
'Tis true. There's magic in the web of it. A sibyl that had numbered in the world the sun to course 200 compasses in her prophetic fury sowed the work. The worms were hallowed that did breed the silk, and it was dyed in mummy, which the skillful conserved of maidens' hearts.
In faith, is it true?
Most veritable. Therefore look to it well.
Then would to God that I had never seen it.
Huh? Wherefore?
Why do you speak so startlingly and rash?
It's lost. It's gone. Speak! It's out of the way.
Heaven bless us!
Say you?
It is not lost. But what an if it were?
How?
I say it is not lost.
Fetched! Let me see it.
Why, so I can, but I will not now. This is a trick to put me from my suit. Pray you let Cassio be received again.
Fetch me the handkerchief. My mind misgives.
Come, come. You'll never meet a more sufficient man.
The handkerchief?
I pray talk me of Cassio.
The handkerchief?
A man that all his time hath founded his good fortunes on your love, shared dangers with you.
The handkerchief!
In faith, you are to blame.
Zounds!
Is not this man jealous?
I ne'er saw this before. Sure, there's some wonder in this handkerchief. I am most unhappy in the loss of it.
'Tis not a year or two shows us a man. They are all but stomachs, and we all but food. They eat us hungrily, and when they are full, they belch us. Look you, Cassio and my husband.
There is no other way. Tis she must do it. And lo, the happiness, go and importune her.
How now, good Cassio? What's the news with you?
Madam, my former suit. I do beseech you that by your virtuous means I may again exist and be a member of his love, whom I, with all the office of my heart, entirely honor. I would not be delayed. If my offense be of such mortal kind that nor my service past, nor present sorrows, nor purposed merit in futurity can ransom me into his love again, but to know so must be my benefit. So shall I clothe me in a forced content, and shut myself up in some other course to fortune's alms.
Alas, thrice gentle Cassio, my advocation is not now in tune. My lord is not my lord, nor should I know him were he in favor as in humor altered. So help me, every spirit sanctified, as I have spoken for you all my best, and stood within the blank of his displeasure for my free speech. You must a while be patient. What I can do, I will, and more I will than for myself I dare. Let that suffice you.
Is my lord angry?
He went hence but now, and certainly in strange unquietness.
Can he be angry? I have seen the cannon when it hath blown his ranks into the air, and, like the devil from his very arm, puffed his own brother, and is he angry? Something of moment, then. I will go meet with him. There's matter in't indeed, if he be angry.
I prithee do so. Something sure of state, either from Venice or some unhatched practice made demonstrable here in Cyprus to him, hath puddled his clear spirit. And in such cases men's natures wrangle with inferior things, though great ones are their object. 'Tis even so, for let our finger ache, and it endues our other healthful members even to a sense of pain. Nay, we must think men are not gods, nor of them look for such observancy as fits the bridal. Beshrew me much, Amelia, I was, unhandsome warrior as I am, arraigning his unkindness with my soul. But now I find I had suborned the witness, and he's indicted falsely.
Pray heaven it be, state matters as you think, and no conception nor no jealous toy concerning you.
Alas, the day I never gave him cause.
But jealous souls will not be answered so. They are not ever jealous for the cause, but jealous for their jealous. It is a monster begot upon itself, born on itself.
Heaven keep that monster from Othello's mind.
Lady, amen.
I will go seek him. Cassio, walk hereabout. If I do find him fit, I'll move your suit and seek to effect it to my uttermost.
I humbly thank your ladyship.
Save you, friend Cassio.
What make you from home? How is't with you, my most fair Bianca? Faith, sweet love, I was coming to your house.
And I was going to your lodging, Cassio. What? Keep a week away. 7 days and nights, 88 hours, and lovers' absent hours more tedious than the dial 80 times. Oh, weary reckoning.
Pardon me, Bianca. I have this while with leaden thoughts been pressed, but I shall, in a more continuate time, strike off this score of absence. Sweet Bianca, take me this workout.
Oh, Cassio, whence came this? This is some token from a newer friend. To the felt absence now I feel a cause. Is come to this. Well, well.
Go to, woman. Throw your vile guesses in the devil's teeth from whence you have them. You are jealous now that this is from some mistress, some remembrance. No, by my faith, Bianca.
Why, whose is it?
I know not neither. I found it in my chamber. I like the work well. Ere it be demanded, as like enough it will, I would have it copied. Take it, and do it, and leave me for this time.
Leave you? Wherefore?
I do attend here on the general, and think it no addition nor my wish to have him see me womaned.
Why, I pray you.
Not that I love you not.
But that you do not love me. I pray you, bring me on the way a little, and say if I shall see you soon at night.
'Tis but a little way that I can bring you, for I attend here. But I'll see you soon.
'Tis very good. I must be circumstanced.
Will you think so?
Think so, Iago?
What, to kiss in private?
An unauthorized kiss?
Or to be naked with her friend in bed an hour or more, not meaning any harm?
Naked in bed, Iago, and not mean harm. 'Tis hypocrisy against the devil. They that mean virtuously and yet do so, the devil their virtue tempts, and they tempt heaven.
If they do nothing, 'tis a venial slip. But if I give my wife a handkerchief...
What then?
Why, then 'tis hers, my lord, and being hers, she may, I think, bestow it on any man.
She is protectress of her honor, too. May she give that?
Her honor is an essence that's not seen. They have it very oft that have it not. But for the handkerchief...
By heaven, I would most gladly have forgot it. Thou saidst... Oh, it comes o'er my memory as doth the raven o'er the infectious house, boding to all. He had my handkerchief.
Aye, what of that?
That's not so good now.
What if I had said I had seen him do a wrong? Or heard him say, as knaves be such abroad, who having by their own importunate suit or voluntary dotage of some mistress convinced or supplied them, cannot choose, but they must blab.
Hath he said anything?
He hath, my lord, but be you well assured, no more than he'll unswear.
What hath he said?
Faith, that he did. I know not what he did.
What? What?
Lie.
With her?
With her. On her, what you will.
Lie with her, lie on her. We say lie on her when they belie her. Lie with her, zounds, that's fulsome. Handkerchief. Confessions, handkerchief. To confess and be hanged for his labor. First to be hanged, and then to confess. I tremble at it. Nature would not invest herself in such shadowing passion without some instruction. It is not words that shakes me thus. Pish! Noses, ears, and lips. Is possible? Confess. Handkerchief. Oh, devil.
Work on, my medicine. Work. Thus credulous fools are caught, and many worthy and chaste dames, even thus, all guiltless, meet reproach. What ho? My lord. My lord, I say, Othello. How now, Cassio?
What's the matter?
My lord has fallen into an epilepsy. This is his second fit. He had one yesterday.
Rub him about the temples.
No. Forbear. The lethargy must have his quiet course. If not, he foams at mouth and by breaks out to savage madness. Ah, look. He stirs. Do you withdraw yourself a little while? He will recover straight. When he is gone, I would on great occasion speak with you. How is it, General? Have you not hurt your head?
Dost thou mock me?
I mock you not, by heaven. Would you would bear your fortune like a man.
A horned man's a monster and a beast.
There's many a beast, then, in a populous city, and many a civil monster.
Did he confess it?
Good sir, be a man. Think every bearded fellow that's but yoked may draw with you. There's millions now alive that nightly lie in those improper beds which they dare swear peculiar. Your case is better. Oh, 'tis the spite of hell, the fiend's arch mock, to lip a wanton in a secure couch and to suppose her chaste. No, let me know, and knowing what I am, I know what she shall be.
Oh, thou art wise, 'tis certain.
Stand you a while apart. Confine yourself but in a patient list. Whilst you are here, o'erwhelmed with your grief, a passion most unsuiting such a man, Cassio came hither. I shifted him away and laid good excuses upon your ecstasy. Bade him anon return, and here speak with me, the which he promised. Do but encave yourself, and mock the fleers, the gibes, and notable scorns that dwell in every region of his face, for I will make him tell the tale anew. Where, how, oft, how long ago, and when he hath, and is again to cop your wife. I say but mark his gesture. Marry, patience. Or I shall say you're all in all and slain and nothing of a man.
Dost thou hear, Iago? I will be found most cunning in my patience, but dost thou hear? Most bloody.
That's not amiss, but yet keep time in all. Will you withdraw? Now will I question Cassio of Bianca, a hussif that by selling her desires buys herself bread and clothes. It is a creature that dotes on Cassio, as 'tis the strumpet's plague, to beguile many and be beguiled by one. He, when he hears of her, cannot restrain from the excess of laughter. Here he comes.